The Father will give you love through Christ, because you have to honor the Son. You can't come to Him outside of honoring the Son. And the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to teach you how to find the Son, because you have to know who you are in order to really find Him, because you got to know what He did for you. He'll receive of My inheritance that's laid up for you in the heavens, and He'll teach you of it from a heavenly perspective. So you have to have a tremendous relationship with the Holy Spirit. And to do that, you have to be very sensitive to Him, because He can be grieved very easily. He just doesn't come and tell you, oh, by the way, for the last 5 days, I've been grieved with you. You have to kind of figure that one out. But when you make Him happy, He's a teacher, and He will teach you. But He's also administrator of what comes out of you. He's going to teach you how to turn yourself over to Jesus. Jesus is going to turn you over to the Father. And it's very important we understand the perspective roles of the Godhead. The Father is going to give you life, love, peace, and you name what else. But what predominantly flows out of the Father is life, love, tremendous love, life that is from above, pure, unadulterated life, peace, and then power. Power eventually come. The foundations of power is life and love. Really, the power is when the life breaks out. And the Holy Spirit's going to administrate the life. When it flows out of you like rivers, He'll be there administrating, and then He'll anoint the life. And there's a difference between the Holy Spirit anointing the life that comes out of you and the realm of the gifts that flow out of you. The realm of the gifts is, that's what it is the gifts. But when the life flows out, you'll be operating in the exact same thing that Jesus operated in. And that's the anointing without measure, because it's eternal in its operation. And we're learning how to untap that well. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit's a tremendous teacher. I'm just fascinated to learn from Him. Just amazing. So we're going to go a little further. This last season, we've been heavily into the right hand of the Father. And it's been such a tremendous change for me personally and for all of us. And that was getting us ready for what's going to come out of the right hand. Now, when the right hand, that's where you're going to find all of God you want. That's why He said, "He that cometh unto Me, he that is thirst, come unto Me." So you're going to have to come to where He is, and we're learning to do that. As we do that, eventually it's going to flow out. Now, when it flows out, this is the tough part, because it's the perspective. Because when you come to Him, the right hand of the Father for the longest has been up. And it is up. The better way to look at it, it's out of the jurisdiction you live in. But the kingdom of God is within you. And that kingdom's not of this world, so the kingdom within is out of the jurisdiction you're familiar with and you live in. Amen? So when God, the right hand of the Father, goes like this, it goes like up, and then it goes, it's in you. Holy Spirit's in you, Jesus is in you, and the Father's in Him. But then you're in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. But then Christ is in you, and the depths. God is in the heights, and He's in the depths. Amen? So what we have to learn how to do is, in the depths of God, is when that kingdom releases, when Jesus came and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, things got to happen. The water's got to break. That's what we're going to learn to do next, is break the water. Because listen, this kind of anointing we're looking for, this kind of glory, it's going to come out of you. Do you understand that? It's going to barrel up out of the kingdom of God within you. And we have to learn to unlock that. We have to unlock it. If that was natural, we'd all be flowing in it. The only way it's unlocked is the same way you find the right hand in the first place, by revelation and faith in the revelation. You unlock it by revelation and faith in the revelation. That's what we're doing in there. We're digging, digging, digging. Amen? I've been saying it all day long, all week long, actually. Hallelujah. Let the waters break and the river flow. Let my waters break. Everyone say, let my waters break and the rivers flow. You have a whole lot more in you than what you know. When Jesus said He came to give you eternal life, He gave you salvation, but He gave you a lot more than that. In the salvation, He gave you an eternal fountain of life. It's in you. Amen? We got to learn to get that out. We have to learn to release the fountain. And there are things that happen that cause that fountain to release. Amen? Glory be to God. So that's what we're going to learn, what we're learning to do. And I'm just amazed I'll tell you what, it's worth every bit of it. Amen. Go to John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He's quite emotional, you know. But the emotions didn't govern him because they were rejecting him. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. Boy, we got to learn to drink. Not, we're going to be walking around empty Christians. Empty Christians are subject to a whole lot of carnality. What's in you is emptiness. The enemy is surely going to come and fill it. Most of his whole kingdom is set up around that God-given hunger that you have. He sets his kingdom up around it. If you don't know how to fill your hunger, the enemy does. He'll offer you something, and you can't resist him forever with discipline. You live pretty miserable just trying to discipline yourself. You have to learn how to drink and learn how to eat. You have to learn how to drink from a kingdom that's not of this world. If you don't think the enemy will not take advantage of your hunger and your thirst for God. He'll give you something to eat, and it'll sure feel good for the beginning, but then it'll lock you down and enslave you for a lifetime. When you drink from God, it feels good, and it keeps feeling good, and it feels better. It's better and better. The kingdom of God is better and better. Amen. I think he said it was glory to glory. It's Texas. It's better and better. Amen. If any man thirst, I told the Lord, I'm thirsty. I said, I've been thirsty for a long time. I continue to be thirsty. I just knew you. I had a lot of knowledge. Knowledge is not going to satisfy you. You understand that, don't you? For a while it will, but after a while, knowledge will get you to the place of satisfaction. You're not going to get there without knowledge. But knowledge alone won't satisfy the deep well within you, the yearnings of God to be satisfied. And I said, Lord, I've been so hungry for so long. I said, how can you say that? In fact, he said in John 6, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. How can you never hunger and never thirst? How many of you walked with God and are plenty hungry and plenty thirsty? Raise your hand. The reason why you're hungry and the reason why you're thirsty is because you haven't learned to be filled. You have to learn to be filled. We have to learn to drink and learn to eat. And hunger alone is not going to allow you to continually drink from the fountain of God. Hunger will create a great frustration in you if you don't have the revelation of how to access the kingdom where you will drink and you will eat. Now, when you start learning to drink, he will satisfy you. When I come out, there used to be days I'd pray 6 to 8 hours a day. I'd pray in tongues. And that's what kind of caused the birth of the revelation of all this. But listen, now I'm learning to go and access and to eat on purpose. I eat and I drink. You've got to go to the well, and he is fullness. Everyone say fullness. We're going to come to the place where we learn when we come out of our time of fellowship, we're going to come out full. We're going to come out filled into fullness. Amen. Into full gospel. We're going to have fullness of God. We need to come into his fullness, and that's what we're learning to do. To do that, we've got to tap the kingdom. You got to tap the right hand of God, and you have to learn to open the well within you. Amen. Go to John 14, verse 11. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you will do also. Wow. It'd be pretty nice if we obtained that operation. Amen. To do his works, and particularly the ones he was speaking of, or the creative ones. He raised that man 38 years on the deathbed. The other man he healed in the temple, blind from birth in the temple. That caused quite a stir. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you will do also. In greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now, we broke into this greater works because there's a lot of philosophy or doctrine about what is a greater work. the greater works, well, you know, the greater, how are you going to top what he did? He already said, the works that I do, you will do also, right? So he already said that, and then greater. So what's the greater? Well, hey, you're not going to top anything he did. You're going to do what he did, but you can't top raising the dead or healing blind eyes from birth or the man 38 years at the pool of Bethesda was healed. I mean, we ain't even got into those works yet for the most part, not in the first world country, not a whole lot of them. You don't see a city flowing with massive miraculous power like that. Where would that be flowing at? Where they're bringing them in. You know, we don't see that yet. Everyone say yet. But then he said the greater works than these will you do. Well, we're going to do more of them. Well, that's one thought, but actually that's not what he's talking about. If you'll go in John 5, I'm going to spend 5 minutes on John 5. Now he's going to get into this greater works, John 5 here. Amen. And he just got through healing the impotent man 38 years on the deathbed. 38 years confined to a bed. Golly. I couldn't imagine. Verse 19, John 5. He didn't answer Jesus, said, verily, verily, I say, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he seeth the Father do, we've talked about this. He said, look, and the reason why he did this, it's real important you understand that Jesus did not perform miracles in his deity. If he did, you would have never been able to obtain it. He didn't come in his position of deity to perform miracles. He goes, I don't even come of myself. I don't speak of myself. It's the Father to do the works. I speak what the Father tells me to speak. My doctrine is not mine, but that of the Father. Even him being the Word, he laid it all down. You understand, he laid his deity down and became a man. Was not ashamed to be called your brother. Humbled himself as a man. He had to do it. Because if he performed one miracle through his deity, you could not obtain it. Because you'll never, ever be equal to his deity. So we could not obtain the operation for which he said, my glory I give to you. The works that I do, you will do also. But if he did them as the Son of God in his deity, you could not obtain it. He didn't do it that way. That's why he laid it all down, fashioned himself as a man, and was 100% submitted to the Father. Under the Father's authority the whole time. If you read it in John, you should read through the book of John and find out how many times he says, I myself do nothing. My doctrine's not mine, but him that sent me. The works that I do, you will do also. The Father, he's doing the works. It's not me that doeth. Many, 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 many times he says this. All right? Says it again here in chapter 5. Verse 17, my Father work hitherto, and I work. Verse 19, and Jesus answered, said to them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. The reason why we can obtain it, and we're supposed to obtain it, and we will obtain it, is because he did it as the firstborn, and turned around, handed us the inheritance. Amen. I like that. That gives me a whole lot of faith to go after it. Amen. I got to find out how to go after it. And amazing, just amazing that God come live in us, but we have to be taught a few things. I just couldn't imagine that we actually have to be taught how to do things. We think because we know the Lord, we don't have to learn anything. We know him, but we have to learn a lot. Chiefly how to function in a kingdom that's not of this world, but's in us. You've got to get in touch with that. Amen. Verse 20, and the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he doeth and will show him greater works than these. So here's the greater works again. But now he's going to describe the greater works in great detail. He's going to do greater works than these that you may marvel. And here it is. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, that word them, it's not in the original. You can just scratch that one. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. Verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, eternal life. That's not something you're going to get here and enjoy in eternity. You have it now. In fact, it's a wellspring. It's a fountain. And we're going to learn to tap that fountain. That's eternal. I'm getting a new revelation of eternal life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation, but passed from death unto life. Amen. Now look at this. He says, as the Father raiseth up the dead, in verse 21, and quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. This is the greater work. As it is, the Son paid the price, and he was buried in baptism on your behalf, as the Father raised him from the dead and quickened him. Even the Son now can raise from the dead whom he will and quickeneth. And whom he wills is all who comes to him. If you come to him, he's going to raise you from the dead. And that was a greater work that even Jesus could not do, because he wasn't talking about raising the dead body. He was talking about raising your dead spirit, an eternal spirit born with the law of sin and death. The greater work is he was going to raise that from the dead and seat it with him in heavenly places. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Now watch this. Verse 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. See, he's talking about it right there. Passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear will live. What dead? Us. Even the prophets couldn't come and speak to your dead spirit, couldn't hear them. The law and the prophets of the old, they couldn't come and speak to the dead spirit within you, you couldn't hear it, couldn't awaken the dead. But when the Father ordained him of the Jordan River, the waters have got to break, by the way. Those waters broke in baptism. God ordained him. This is my beloved Son. He could speak to the dead, see. He could speak to your dead spirit, because your dead spirit could now hear the voice of the Son of God, because you're not going to be dead any longer. The next verse is, the Father had life in himself, so he gave to the Son to have life in himself, and the Son to execute the judgment also. He that hath the Son hath life. The origination of eternal life is abiding in you, because the Son's abiding in you and the Father's in him. And there's a wellspring, a fountain of eternal life in you. It was the greater work. Jesus himself couldn't do that till after the cross. That's why he said, he goes, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, and I'll give you the administration of my name after I go to the Father. And through that name, I'm thinking, my God, if that's the greater work, why can't we do the secondary works? Because there's nobody even has a problem with raising a dead spirit. You know? Why can't we do the secondary works? I'm like, we got this thing reversed a little bit, amen? I'll tell you what, I can preach on John till now, till Jesus comes back. I'm quite certain of that. This is great. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. He was talking about the guys who wanted to kill him from John chapter 5, John chapter 7, John chapter 8. You're trying to climb up to the Father the wrong way here. He says, his representative is standing in front of you and you're rejecting me. He said, verily, verily, I say, because they ask him in John 9, verse 41, they said, are we blind? He goes, well, since you say you see, yes, you are. Because it might as well should have said you were blind, but now that you say you see, yes, you're blind, because the one that's standing in front of you, you're missing the hour of your visitation. That's very easy to do. People will slumber. They'll miss some of the greatest stuff. Just amazing right now why this church shouldn't be full right now. People listening, something like this. I'm telling you right now, I've been around long enough to know this stuff is not in mainstream right now. Amen? It's easy to slumber at the day of visitation. Amen? John 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, you're not going to climb into the Father outside of him. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice, and the stranger they will not follow. Do you know what was in those last three verses I just said to you? Do you not have any idea what I just said? That's how easy it is to read through something and not see what's in it. I got caught up on those verses today into the love of the Father, and I'll tell you why. I want you to see this. Put your finger in verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Okay? Now he's going to explain this in verse 9. All right? He said, I am the door. He's explaining what he just said to them. I am the door. He goes, by me, if any man enter in, that in would be the kingdom. Okay? If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Okay, that's where everyone parked right there. They got saved, and hallelujah, I'm at the gate of salvation. I've spent my whole life at the gate of salvation. Every time I want to get closer to the Father, I just keep repenting at the gate and thinking he's going to come to the gate. No, he got you through the gate, but look at the next verse. And, oh my God, he had an and there. Can you believe it? You got saved, and then there was an and. Wow, is there an and there? Shall go in? Go in where? To the kingdom. And out. Wow. Where? Back out to where you live. You'll go in and out. You'll go in and, oh, there's another one. Find pasture. What are pastures for? Well, if you're a sheep, you eat. Wow, there's some pasture in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's go back over there and look at verse 3 again. To him who? Jesus, the porter will open. Who's the porter? The Father. He's going to open to Jesus, absolutely. To him the porter open, and then the sheep. Everyone go, bah. That's a sheep, bah. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Where is he leading you out of? The kingdom of this world. You were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. That happened right there in that verse. He led you out. Translated you and put you right into the gate. That's what happened when you were born again. Now what else happens? Led them out. Said, Father, lead me out. He already did. He already led you out. He led you out of the world system through the gate. Look what else is here. And, wow, there's another and. Wow. He led me out, translated me into the kingdom, and... And when he putteth forth his own sheep, what do you mean? Once he gets you through the gate? Once he led you out? Translated out? Delivered from darkness? Translated into the kingdom? And once he gets you into the kingdom? What's verse 9 again? Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Isn't it amazing you all entered through the door and came and sat down? Be amazing if we had church service where all of you were jam-packed at the door. Well, I went to the door. I didn't know there was much else besides the door. You entered in and you sat down. Imagine if this was the right hand of the Father, you sat down. There's all these seats. Look at all these seats that people are not sat down. That's what the right hand of the Father is, a whole lot more barren than this. There's not very many people sitting down there right now. But that's all going to change. Amen. He shall enter in, shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Golly. You're going to have to find that pasture. If you don't learn to eat from that pasture, you're going to be empty. When you're empty, you're going to be subject to the enemy's system. So he's going to get you to take your God-given hunger and eat from his system. And when he does, you're going to get in trouble. All right, verse 4 now. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he putteth them forth. He see, led them out of one kingdom and into another. That right there was the cross, right there. All right. Then he go before them, and his sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Now look at this very clearly. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, okay, did they get through the gate or not? Right? So they got through the door over there, right? Then once he got them into the door of the kingdom, now they're in the kingdom, starting in verse 4, he putteth forth his own sheep. He put them out of the kingdom of this world. He put them into the kingdom of God, right? Wake up, right? Now watch this. Once you're in the kingdom, what happens? Look what he says. He goeth before you. Wow. Where's he leading you now? And his sheep follow him in the kingdom. You see that? He goeth before them and his sheep follow him. And I say, where am I going? Because I'm glad you asked. At least you know that I'm in front of you trying to get you further in now. He got you through the door, right? And then he went in front of you. Like, I'm the door, come through the door. Okay, now you're through the door. Good job. Now he steps back in front of you and says, follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Then he may be with me where I am, there you may be also. Now I want to take you to someone greater than I. I'm bringing you to the Father. The Holy Spirit brought you to me. I'm going to bring you to the Father. And when I bring you to the Father, he's going to give you something that my joy, that I've had joy with him for eternity past, he's going to give you what I have. All that happens in the kingdom. If you don't get out of the jurisdiction of this earth, you don't have any of that. You just sit in church for 30 years like we've done. Amen? We're going to have to learn to get into the kingdom. It's scriptures like this that calls the access and the entrance. Do you see that? It's the scriptures that calls that. You lock into that scripture. Oh, I go in and out. Well, I follow you today, Jesus. I step through the door. Where are we going? Where do you think you're going? Father, I will. They be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory that I have with you, for I have brought them to you. And I now present them. And see, when he gets you to the Father, he's going to present you faultless. He's going to present you blameless, unreprovable, without reproach, forever perfected, new creation. You couldn't even get through that door without being a new creation. You wouldn't have made it 1 foot through that door. That's why everyone tried to go the other way. Every religion tries to go to God. They get blanked out. Unless you can't go without the cross, without a new creation. The cross produced a new creation. The new creation was given access, citizenship, and rights to inherit and partake of the kingdom. And the Lord's going to lead you in that kingdom. He has a lot to show us. But predominantly what God wants us to have now, power, is what the world needs. Do you understand that? A broken world needs a lot of power right now. Go to John 4 now. This is Jesus at the well, Samaria. Incredible time. I'm so glad he ran into her. I'm so glad he said this. John 4. He asked her to drink. She asked him, why would you ask me to drink? He said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask him for living water. She goes, give me this living water. Verse 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. This is the part I didn't understand forever till just recently. Verse 14, but whoso drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. I'm like, God, I'm thirsty all the time. He said, you're thirsty because you don't know how to drink. Listen, if God says something, you might as well know the problem is not with him. I want to say that again. If God says something and it's not happening, as much as we want to blame God, the problem is not with him, it's with us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He goes, you're thirsty because you don't know how to drink. Or something has separated you from me. Listen, a sin, Jesus is going to present you faultless before the Father. But if you got sin, you better get it right with the Lord. Because you're not going to get past him till you get it right. Do you understand that? And it's the Holy Spirit that brings you to him. The Holy Spirit's the one that leads you into that. And if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you're in all kind of problems. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Not only is he the one that helps you get there, he teaches you, equips you, leads you. He's also the administration of what's going to come out the other side. When the kingdom starts flowing, he's right there, the anointed, the living water. So you better be very sensitive to him. Amen? It's a new meaning. If you're going to walk this walk, your life is not your own. Amen? So, look at John 4 here. And Jesus answered verse 13 and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him or her, say in me, a well of water, a fountain of water, a wellspring of living water, a wellspring of life, as the Father hath life in himself. So he gave to the Son that hath life in himself, and he that hath the Son hath life. That life is not just a little cup. That's eternal, and it's in you. Everyone say, it's eternal, and it's in me. It's eternal, and it's in me. It never stops. He that thirsts, you'll never thirst again when you learn to drink. Just learning to drink, and it's so good. Oh, my God. Shaka. It's so good. But you got to learn to drink. Isn't it amazing you can walk around 30 years with a well inside you and be capped? I said, let the waters break and the river flow. I'm walking around, let the waters break and the river flow. Let the waters break and the river flow. See, now listen, the children of Israel said there was a rock that followed them. Why don't you go there, 1 Corinthians 10. Why don't you see this? Now listen, watch this, 1 Corinthians 10. Man, I want need to flow. The Lord said, you got to lay this down before. This is the last one. By the way, it's my belief at this stage, this is the last revelation the Lord's going to give us before it all breaks loose. This is what I feel he's telling me. This is the last one. It was the right hand of the Father, the revelation of Christ in you. He goes, once this is laid, it's going to release. That's my belief at this stage. When this one releases, oh my. It's pretty amazing. There's a lot of revelation here. Oh, by the way, before I leave that well, on two different commentaries I read that well was 100 feet deep. The well of Samaria. I thought, wow. Why 100? Why not 50? The 100-fold glory is in that well. The fullness is in that fountain of eternal life in us. Isn't it amazing? We've been carrying the answer all this time. How do you get that fountain here? How do I drink from it, for one thing? And then how does God give the whole world a drink from your fountain? Because John 7 says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the rivers of the living water is the life of the Father. But it's the Holy Spirit that's administrating that life. And when that life starts breaking out of you, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to anoint the life. And when he does, he's going to anoint it with dominion. When he anoints that life, everything that's dead is going to live. 1 Corinthians 10, I love it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. I'm in agreement. Everyone say, I'm in agreement. How that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat of the same spiritual meat, which was the manna. You see, they had to eat. There was something that we had to learn there. probably going to get delivered from the wilderness when we learn to actually gather the manna daily and eat it. And did all drink of that same spiritual drink. Wonder if that was living water. And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Could you imagine a rock following them? Do you know that one rock? Actually, the Lord told Moses one time, he said, speak to it, and the other time he said, strike it. Now, when he told him to strike it, he struck it twice. And he says, the rock only needs to be struck once. That was the cross, but this rock's going to give water. He said, speak to that rock. And when he did, the water released, and it fed 3 million people, drank of that rock. And that rock is in you. That rock is in you. It would have fed 30 million people. It would have fed 6 billion. Because the rock is eternal. And that rock is inside you. And when we learn to get that rock to open. Do you know that well? Samaria was 100 feet deep. Hewn out of pure rock. They had hewn that rock. It was almost 10 foot wide. Now they've put a cap over it, another rock on top of that one. That whole well was one big rock. They cut 100-foot hole out of that rock. 100-fold glory inside you. And so now there's a little hole. They put a rock on top of it, 10-foot diameter, and they put a hole the size of a man that can go through it. You can still get into that rock. You can go in. Waters to swim in. Amen? Now, when we learn to open this rock, there's some things about the Lord's ministry. We even study his first miracle. He said, mine hour is not come yet. See, these waters have got to break open. Do you understand that? These waters, there is a barrier which everyone's called to break. And when these waters break open, they'll start flowing, see? When we learn to break those barriers, the Holy Spirit's going to help us because he's that stands on the other side and ministrates the river. Once these waters break, you're going to start drinking of living water. Your soul's going to drink of the life that's from the Father, that's in the Son, and it's in you. When we start drinking of the life, it's going to change us. It's going to fill us. It's going to complete us. It's going to fill your body. It'll fill your soul. It'll fill your spirit. In fact, he says, take those water pots of stone, that miracle of the Cana of Galilee, that wedding. He said, fill them up. And they said, they filled them to the brim. That's you. Before, what happened to Stephen? Said he did great miracles. Said he was full of the Holy Ghost. He went out full because we don't know how to get this water flowing. When we get this water flowing, we're going to stop suffering so much because the wellsprings of living water are in us. I said, God, let these waters break. Let these waters break. Let these waters break and let this river flow. Let these waters break. You want to know the fullness of it? Now listen, when Jesus, 30 years unknown on the planet, the Son of God was living virtually unknown on the planet. Nobody knew him. Even at Cana of Galilee, they didn't know who he was. His time, it was not come yet. All of that in him at the age of 12, he's disputing with the doctors and the lawyers in the temple, and they're amazed. Already the Father's downloaded eternity past into him. Eternity present and future. No telling what age he got all that. By the time he was born, God started the process. By the time he's 12 years old, he's already disputing. He probably already knows who he is because he said, I got to be about my Father's business. So the Father's downloading big time. Big time downloading into him who he is, getting him ready. But still nobody knows who he was. See, there's a time appointed. In a time appointed, you got to watch what happens. He takes him to the Jordan and John said, listen, I'm the one that's got to be baptized. You said, no, sir. I am the Jordan gate. It was the exact same place as right by Jericho and the Dead Sea where they went through. It was the same place. He came down from Galilee and went in the same place that Moses brought the children of Israel through the Jordan Sea. It was the exact same place. And there they are. And see, Moses didn't get to bring them through because he was the law. He couldn't pass through. See, the law couldn't pass into life. See that? Even the priest that took the ark, You'll see this in Joshua 3. When they took that ark through the Jordan, God parted the Jordan. They walked through on dry land. See? Because even then, they couldn't touch the living water yet. Their spirit couldn't touch into the living water. See? But God parted them through as a type and shadow. And they went into the promised land. But Jesus said, I am the true promised land. And he was baptized in that water. See? He said, thus fulfilleth all righteousness. Now watch what happened. In that baptism, he went under. So that's what's happening. There's the death, burial, and resurrection. And then there's also the resurrection of the living water. See, when he went under, that water had to break. See, it's that water that breaks. It breaks in the womb for the baby to come out, for the birth. That water's got to break, see. It's that water within us, that well's got to break. See, there's an initial breaking of that well that causes it to flow. And he parted that, see. When that happened, when he come up out of that water, you see, it broke. See, a new man was coming up out of that water. Do you understand that? The old man was buried. That new man was coming up out of that water, and that water had to break. And when it broke, immediately the Holy Spirit descended right there like a dove. And the Father speaks out of heaven and says, this is my beloved Son. Now hear him. He can speak to the dead. And as soon as he did that, he went to a place you and I don't have to go, because he had to win the battle to prove that he was a true promise. He had to prove that he was the Jordan Gate. Do you understand? He had to go in the wilderness, and the devil tempted him three times, and each time he quoted right out of Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy was the message Moses gave them at the Jordan Gate. He taught that entire message right there at the Jordan. And he says, I can't go in, but you'll go in. Jesus said, I am the true Jordan Gate. And each time he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. We got into that. Don't have time to get into that tonight. He stood at the Jordan and says, now I am the door to the promised land. If any man come in, he'll go through me. Because I'm the true promise. See? And those waters broke right there. Right after the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. He came into Nazareth. When he came into Nazareth, he declared what happened to him at the Jordan. We are about to have a Jordan River experience. Our waters are going to break, and everything that's been sown, everything that's been cultivated, everything that's been working in us, though man may not know who you are, maybe we might be sitting here year after year after year, talked about, crucified, betrayed, rejected. All of that. If God was with them, shouldn't they have already been this way and that way and this way? But see, it wasn't our time. God's still cultivating, had a little bit higher level for us to get to within. But there's going to come a time God's going to break the water. And when the water breaks, the Holy Spirit's going to descend with a brand new king-priest government. And when that king-priest government comes on the scene, he's going to crown the priesthood with a kingly crown. And when he does, we're going to come in. And we're going to come right up out of Nazareth. Because Jesus came into Nazareth, declared that birth right in Nazareth, as his custom was to do. He walked back in the temple. Been preaching there for a long time. Nobody knew who he was. His custom was to read from the temple. They didn't know who he was. People don't know who you are because it's not our time yet. Because our message had to get intact. We have to find out what we were here for. What is the message we are going to bear? Because we get that right, God's going to back it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me now. I'm another man. Their eyes are fastened on him. And then they threw him out of the city. They're going to throw him off that ridge. And he walked out right through them. First thing he did, he took him, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they went to Capernaum immediately. In the day of visitation, you rejected me. My inheritance now will go to Capernaum. As soon as he came into Capernaum, he walked right into Jairus' temple. And that devil-possessed boy started screaming, we know who you are. Oh. He said, come out of the boy. Or it was a man. He said, come out. And man, it was on. He goes, who is this? This guy's words with power. That afternoon went into Peter's house and had a revival at Peter's house. And the whole city came to the door. Miracles, signs, and wonders. They found him at 4 o'clock in the morning. This is what they said to him. Master, all men seek you. And another thing they said to him is, stay here. I read that in another translation. They said, stay here. Don't leave. Everything's good right here. It's good that you're here. He goes, I must preach this to other cities also. He goes, I didn't just come here. He said, no, Master, stay. Stay. Power, glory, manifestation, launched the disciples into the deep, had to catch so much, Peter fell on the fish, was repenting, I'm a sinful man, I've never seen anything like this. 3.5 years was paid for in that one catch. For them to follow him freely, 3.5 years. Manifestation and glory, see when that anointing and that veil comes over you. See, it's that mantle. You get mantled by the Father, and he commissions you. He commissions right out of the Jordan gate. The water will break. And when the water breaks, it'll be time to go. It'll be time to preach the kingdom of heaven now is at hand. And when we say it, God will back it. And that river will, then out of your belly shall flow an eternal river of living water, and the Holy Spirit will anoint the river. The rock will give its water, and millions and millions and millions will drink from it. Because we're not here to represent ourselves. I represent another that's inside. I represent a kingdom that's not of this world, but it's in me. And this kingdom's going to give its water. I myself can do nothing, but what's in this kingdom, when it starts flowing, you're going to meet Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And not only are we going to teach you and get you free, because I'm telling you, devils are going to come out by the thousands and the thousands. Devils that survive 50 years of church. You know, those devils that survive years and years and years. They've gone through 50 deliverances. They just never met a commissioned Son of God. It's one that's commissioned to the Father. When they speak, I don't care. You don't even argue. Come out. And they, because it's commissioned. See? You commission because the message. Do you understand that? When that commission comes, healings, miracles, people will perk up because they'll know no man can do this. Then they'll listen to what you have. If we don't fall to the glory gold or gals, we're going to be able to do this long term, because the river is eternal. It's not functioning from the gift realm. Amen? That's just awesome stuff. Remember the woman, the issue of blood 12 years, survived all the physicians, probably survived all the priests and the physicians. And she touched his garment in the middle of that crowd. They were pressing him. They were pressing him in the midst of the press. He said, who touched me? Virtue came out of me. That virtue is the living water. She pulled it right out of him. When they filled the water pots all the way to the brim, he said, now draw it out. Because I'm going to fill you up with the living water. Living water's in you. But I'm going to get you filled with it. I got to uncap the well. The well's got the 100-fold glory in it. And it's in you. Let these waters break and this river flow. Let these waters break and these rivers flow. Let me show it to you another way. Go to, like Jeremiah 23, like this. My word is a hammer. Jeremiah 23, 29, you write this one down. That word is a hammer. It's like fire, but it's a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. See, our well has got some rock over it. It's called unbelief. It's got to be broken. Pow! Every day. Pow! With a word. Pow! The hammer. We're going to break that well. And when it does, eternal life is going to start flowing. When people start drinking of eternal life, they're going, oh my God, I remember that vision Rick Joyner had. That little girl at that river that time, y'all read that book? She was at that river and she sat there, and all of a sudden the apostles, they walked right through the middle of all those armies. They had surrounded her, man. They were closing in on her and they walked right through it. And she says, how are we going to fight all them? She goes, what are we going to do? And that apostle grabbed a cup, dipped it in that river and started handing it to the enemies. And when they started drinking of the river, they changed right there. And we start drawing out the living water and the pure love of the Father. The world can't resist it. It's the religion that turns them off. But when the living water starts flowing, they say, can I have another cup of that? Wow, you can have an eternal wellspring of it if you like. Amen. Go to Luke 6, and then I've got to take you somewhere for 5 to 10 minutes here that you got to see this. By the way, this is the anointing without measure. It's the eternal fountain within you. It's the one the Holy Spirit's going to anoint. He's going to help you get to where it is. He's going to help you uncap it, and he's going to anoint it on the other side. So he's got to be our very good friend, and we have to be very close to him and incredibly sensitive and become a good student. Sometimes we're not that good of students. We don't spend enough time to learn of him. We're not learning. We just want him to do something through us. He goes, I would like to, but I need to teach you what it is that's coming out of you. What I want to do, I've got to teach you a few things, and you're going to have to come to my classroom. We have to submit to his process. Not very many people want to do that. They want it free, see. Just give it to me. He's not going to do that. Not this kind of stuff. Luke 6, verse 17, I just want to show you a little bit about what's going to happen here with this living water. Then I got to take you one other place. I'm sure you know where we're going. And he came down with them, Luke 6, verse 17, and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Houston, Texas, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and Galveston, and Louisiana. Yep, that covered them all, which came to hear him. And to be healed of their diseases. Why'd they come? Mostly to be healed. Because they heard. They heard because something actually was happening. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits. And you could add the lunatics and all that with it. Bipolar, manic depressant, all of it. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him. You see that? That river of living water. Anybody got close to it, the Holy Spirit anointed it. See, that living water started pouring. It's eternal. It won't stop. They were all healed. Everyone was healed. Say all. All of them. Because the eternal fountain released thee. I come that you might have life. You might have it and have it more abundantly. He that cometh to me will never thirst. Now I'm understanding this river. It is possible that I'd never thirst if I just learned to drink. More importantly, you want the thrill of a lifetime is for not only to drink from it, but to give other a drink. Would you like a drink from my fountain? Well, no. Why don't you drink from my fountain? No, you drink from my fountain. Because there's a blessing when your fountain releases. The Holy Spirit anoints it. And when the Father commissions your fountain, he takes the rock off of it. He baptizes you into the fountain. And when you come out, the Holy Spirit's right there. And that fountain will start flowing into the nations. And nations, say nations, out of your bellyful rivers, the government of God will come out. Oh, man. Let me show it to you one other way. This is my favorite of all. Go to Ezekiel 47. This is amazing. Now, before you need to understand something, very important you to understand that Ezekiel's river is on the inside of you. Okay? Before I go to Ezekiel's river, I need to take you to Revelation 22, verse 1. Revelation 22 and 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life. All right? Well, that's in heaven. Well, heaven is inside you because the kingdom's in you. Clear as crystal. God, I want to go swimming. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The throne of God is in Zion. Where is the Lamb? He sat down at the right hand of God, right? So the river is coming up out of that throne, right? Where is Jesus? Raised him and sat him down at the right hand where you sat down. Right there in the midst of that river. You're in that throne. You were raised together and made to sit down in the right hand. Right? So you sat down in the right hand, that river, you're sat right down in the middle of that river. All right? Better yet, all of that is the here and go like this. It's there. Because the kingdom's in you. You're going to have to get that. It's very important. We've got to get up there. We've got to keep going with our faith. Our faith has to keep growing. You think, well, because you know these things that'll happen, knowledge won't get you there. It's your faith, the employment of the spiritual muscle. Every day your faith grows. You listening to me, your faith will grow. Because we happen to know what we're talking about now. And I'm not trying to be proud. I'm not proud about that. I'm just saying there's some things we're understanding now. Do you understand that? As you listen, your faith will grow. Your faith will grow. We're not trying to turn you over to us. Listen, if you think Chuck and I can give you something, we can't give you much. If you know us in the flesh and you've been around here, you might do know us in the flesh a little bit. In the last 10 years, you've probably seen my flesh more times than you might have wanted to see it. We can do nothing for you but turn you over to the one who can. When we turn you over to him, I'm telling you, he can make something out of you real fast. But you got to get up there. You're going to have to keep going. Your faith will break the barrier into the right hand. And now we're already wanting to break the one inside now. I want this river to flow. Let the waters break and the river flow. Let the waters break and the rivers flow. I'm saying it 100 times a day. Let these waters break and this river flow out of my belly. I'm looking for the Jordan River experience. I'm looking to break the waters. Part them, Father. Part these rivers. Part it. Part that. Part it. I want the commission from the Father to speak to this generation on the behalf of the right hand of God. I want that commission. I want a king priest anointing. I want his government to come into the earth. I want it. I want the commission. When God gives the commission, it's all over. The glory is coming into the city. It's coming into the nation. It'll run like fire. You'll get the commission too. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. I just love this. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house. This was the temple. He brought him into the temple. Where was the temple? I just talked about it in Revelation. Showed me a pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne. He brought him into the temple, out of the throne of God. All right? Behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. Wow. Where is the temple now? You are. You are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. Waters issued from under the temple. From within the temple. Where do you think they issued from? The well within you. It shall be in you a well springing up. Waters issued from the threshold of the house. Eastward, the forefront of the house. Towards the east. Watch this. Last part of verse 1. The waters came down from under, from within, from under the temple, from within the temple. The waters are in me. Say, the waters are in me. These waters are in me. From the right side of the house. Ah, they came from within, from the right side. Why the right side? Because the right hand of the Father is in you. Because if Christ is in you, the Father's in you. That means he's in you. And the right hand of God's in you as well. It's in the kingdom within you. And the waters were flowing from the right hand of the temple. Where do you park? The right hand. Where's the waters? From the right hand. I love that. Last part, verse 2. There ran waters on the right side. Thank God. It could be hard to get the waters to run if you're not hanging out in the right hand. If you don't get into the right hand, into the heavenlies, break into jurisdiction, I'll do it real fast. Here's the world. See the circle of the world right here? North, south, east, west, right? If I was standing straight up, going north, if he was standing straight up, going east, he'd be going that way, west, going that way, and Chuck would be down south, he'd be facing down. I'd be looking at his feet. Hey, you there, buddy? But to Chuck in China, with his hands raised, my north would be his. My south would be his north. Do you understand that? Because he's down in China looking up with his hands raised. He'd be looking down. To me, it'd be down. But to him, it's up. And to east, he's going out that way. Like, I'm going to go with the right hand this way. Go left hand that way. You see that? So really, north to me would be south to somebody else. Do you understand that? So it's all about your perspective of gravity and jurisdiction. The kingdom is everywhere, but it's also in you. Better way to look at it is you're breaking out of jurisdiction. It's easier to break out going north because you feel like you're breaking gravity, see? Releasing. But you can also release within. That's where the well is. But the well's up there too. because it's in the throne. But if you're going to get it in the earth, it's got to come out of you. Not going to hear that in Bible school. Okay, so check it out. The waters ran out of the right side. They went to the ankle. They went to the knees. They went to the loins. Now we want to get to where we're going. Now, how did these waters rise? They got released out of the temple. They got released out of within. When that well unplugs, the waters, they start flooding the city very fast. Start flooding up very fast. Ankles, loins, everything. The loins, it births. See? And then, this is where we're going, because these waters, what he said, fill the pot. We're going to fill the pot. So he's filling up. You are the pot. Ankles, knees, loins, into waters to swim in. All right? This is where I'm going to close. Verse 5, afterward he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over. Is this eternal life or what? The waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that I could not pass over, swimming in the life. You will be taken over with life. I come that you might have life, life more abundantly. Do you really think he's coming? He did not say, I come that you might have a lifestyle and a more abundant lifestyle. Then said unto me, verse 8, these waters issue toward the east country and go down into the desert. They're going to fill the desert. There's a big desert right now. The first people got to be filled is you and the body of Christ. There's a desert. The living waters have got to break open. Look at this. Verse 8, the waters issue out towards the east country that go down into the desert and go into the sea. That sea is the Dead Sea. Amazing. These waters are going to flow into the Dead Sea of humanity. Which being brought forth into the Dead Sea, the waters would be healed. The Dead Sea of humanity would be healed. Here it is, verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever these rivers shall come, if you can move, if you can so much as move, these waters are coming on you. These dry bones. Whithersoever these rivers shall come shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish. You got that right. Listen, the harvest is coming not because some new personality comes, says the gospel, a new way. Some 30-fold gospel. Listen, the world's been harvested with a 30-fold gospel. You can't mow it anymore. Do you understand? Look, we've thrust that 30-fold sickle in. We keep getting the same harvest. You're not going to get it until you get the 100-fold well. It's going to go real deep. And it's going to... It's going to harvest where the 30-fold could not. And there's going to be a great multitude of fish because these waters shall come into the Dead Sea. Listen, this is not going to come in so everybody should start laughing again at the altar. That's not what this kind of stuff is about. This life's going to come in and everything's dead. The person laying on that wheelchair in his dead body, it's going to hit that dead body and the Holy Spirit's going to anoint it. And when he's going to anoint it and devils are going to cry when he anoints it, that body's going to get up and walk right in front of you. You're going to see it, but right now you're going to remember this message of why that's happening. Because these waters, and then you're going to say, oh my God, these waters live in me. How do I get them out? And I'll tell you, go get this message and listen to it 100 times and do what I'm doing. These waters shall break and this river shall flow. My waters will break and the river will flow. My waters will break and the river will flow. When these waters break, there will be a commission and these waters will break. Got way too much going on the inside of us now. And that water, because I already know by revelation of Ezekiel, those waters are going to pour out over a city and a nation. These waters are going to pour out. There's no end to them because they're eternal. It's eternal. It's 100-fold glory in my well. Everyone say, put your hand and say, I got 100-fold glory in my well. These waters shall break and this river will flow. I love it. Look at this. And these waters will come through, and they will be healed, and everything shall live whither this river cometh. Everything that's dead is going to live. Your finances are going to live. Everything's going to live again. Your body is going to go. Body of Christ is not going to walk around like that woman 18 years, bent over like this. This is what the body of Christ is going around looking like when it comes into the living water. Straighten up, woman. Straighten up. He's going to present that last generation, that glorious bride. See? Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, what would we be without you, Jesus? What will we be without the work you've done for us? Father, what shall we be when we're with you? Show us the life. Show us the love. Open the fountains. For with thee is the fountain of life. You are the fountain of Israel. You're the fountain. For the life originates from you, Father. The Father has life. We that have the Son now have that life. Let these waters break, Father. I've spoken this word. We've laid these foundations. When these waters come forth, the Capernaum inheritance will break out. When these waters come forth, the Mount Hebron inheritance will break out. The king priest anointing will be born into the earth. When these waters break, revival, everything that's dead will live again. And we know from where they come, Father, and just who it is you made us. Let these waters break to where we have to be a servant to humanity and serve the living waters, Father, to give the world to drink from the wells of salvation, from the hundredfold well of glory, Father. In your mighty name, Father, seal this word and let it never be forgotten. At the day that our waters break, they will know that that capacity is in each and every one of them, Father. Take this word to the nations. Let them all hear just who they are, Father. Just who we are, where we are seated, and the capacity of this rock that's been with us in the wilderness to give its water. To give its water to the nations, Father. To give its water to the nations. Your mighty name, Father. Amen.